The Senate is expected to take up legislation soon that would make it a crime to attempt human cloning. There's disagreement about whether cloning should be allowed if the goal is to make stem cells that could be used to treat disease, but there's unanimous opposition to using it to produce a baby. NPR's Joe Palca reports that some ethicists are questioning the basis of that opposition to reproductive cloning.
Reproductive cloning is making an exact genetic copy of an already living person. The concept has popped up from time to time in books and movies, but according to philosopher and ethicist Dan Brock of Brown University, it wasn't something people who study the ethics of science and medicine thought much about.
Back in the 70s, there was some discussion of reproductive cloning, and the scientists essentially came along to the bioethicist then and said, look, stop wasting your time, this isn't possible. And so the bioethicist thought, well, what do we know? We're bioethicists, not scientists. And so the debate essentially stopped.
Then, in 1997, the world learned about Dolly, the cloned sheep, and suddenly the possibility of cloning a person seemed more real. At the time, President Clinton asked his newly created National Bioethics Advisory Commission to consider the ethics of human cloning. The commission concluded that since there was scant evidence on the safety of cloning, it would be a mistake to attempt it. But the commission took no position on whether cloning would ever be ethical if it should become safe. Now, a new bioethics council appointed by the Bush administration is taking up the issue again.
Most people who object to cloning human beings are not worried that the procedure is unsafe. Their worries begin should the procedure be made safe.
Leon Cass chairs the new President's Council on Bioethics.
The concern for safety is really an expression of a moral concern of what we owe to the next generation.
Looked at in that light, Cass says there are any number of reasons to oppose human reproductive cloning. For example, consider even the most innocuous case, where an infertile couple who seeks a child gets one by cloning the wife.
What would be the psychodynamics of the home when the young woman cloned from the mother becomes the spitting image in physical appearance alone of the woman that the father once fell in love with? I'm not suggesting any liberties will be taken, but the complexities of family dynamics during adolescence are difficult enough as they are.
Or what about the case where the man gets cloned and the couple subsequently divorces?
Would the mother feel differently toward the clone of daddy when she can't stand the sight of daddy himself? I mean, these innocent cases, if you think about them a little bit, turn out to be fraught with difficulties, and I think it'd be unreasonable to expect that a clone child would be regarded simply as any other child.
In addition to these problems of family dynamics, Cass says there's also the concern that a clone would spend his or her life burdened by the knowledge that there's already someone out there with the exact same genetic makeup. But ethicist Dan Brock says that idea comes from a mistaken notion of what you would get if you could make a clone.
The confusion here, of course, is thinking that when you do that, somehow you create another person who's identical to the person who already exists. But of course, we know that's not true.
It's not true, says Brock, because any scientist will tell you we are more than the sum of our genes. What we experience as we are growing up, even what we experience when we are still in the womb, shapes what kind of person we become. Identical twins have identical genes, and while they may be similar, they are distinct human beings. As for Cass's argument that cloning will create difficult family relationships, Brock says society has successfully dealt with those kinds of problems already. Children have been born using donated eggs, donated sperm, surrogate mothers, and those children are all accepted into society. Brock says a lot of the objection to reproductive cloning seems to come down to what some have been calling the yuck factor. He says when people think hard about cloning, some of their objections may disappear.
For example, at a dinner with some bioethicists and some other folks, and a couple said, well, you know, I'm not sure what is so wrong with cloning. But the point was that this was a view that they sort of felt slightly uncomfortable about holding because there's such a solid consensus against it.
And there always may be, according to history of medicine scholar David Rossner from Columbia University. Rossner says there will always be resistance to it for social reasons.
The resistance comes from, I think, deep-seated suspicion of how this would be used in a society where some people can't afford to engage in this behavior and others can't, and how will it be used in terms of the eugenic history of reproductive science, so to speak. We have a long history in this country of having been deeply disturbed by the concept of manipulating human reproduction.
Roster says human cloning would take that concern to a new level. Whether because it's socially unacceptable, ethically unacceptable, or just yucky, for the moment, most people remain opposed to human reproductive cloning. Of course, that could all change if one of the would-be cloners were to produce a healthy baby. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.